How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello, everybody. This is the second funniest podcast with Justin Worsham and Kevin Miller.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
Boom. Do it indeed. What was I going to say? Oh, I need to find out what episode number this is, although you already know.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
I don't know right now. I know. Here's what I do know.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
I know that my wonderful co-host is not only stuck on some kind of niche in a record.
This is a drop.
But he's also told me that we have voicemails.
Touch the Muppet Baby. She got engaged. That's why I was hinting at.
Oh, that's right.
Touch the Muppet Baby got
engaged. Teresa, for those of you old school podcast fans.
Back on the JK show.
For whatever reason.
I want to know how that sentence is going to end. For whatever reason.
That bitch will not come on this show. And because we've tried more than once. This is episode 226, by the way.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
Thank you. And our good friend Teresa Lubeli got engaged.
Yeah.
So what's her new last name?
It will be Costellello. Costellello.
Are you sure it's not Costello?
That's probably it.
Wow.
Yeah, I invited her to come on next week and tell us all about it.
Oh,
so
good.
Maybe she can.
We have two voicemails. One of them, I think. Let's see when this was left. I think this is from our good old drinking buddy, J Dobbs. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, let's
turn it up. Hey, it's your old drinking buddy, J Dobbs here. Thanks for my diet. I don't have a hangover to sleep through, so I'm up early these days. And I was listening to the show here that I called in the other day here. Number one, I have a couple of things I just need to cover real fast, and then I'll let you get back to your little show.
Our little show.
One. When did I tell you to look up on 70s wrestling? I don't know where this came from. You're just making shit up, and I apologize if I'm ruining it. And maybe that's part of the whole wrestling theme, and I'm an awful human being for ruining the bit. Number two, I said Fabulous Thunderbirds like 18 times. It's the Fabulous Freebirds. Fabulous Thunderbirds, I think, were a band.
We all laughed at you.
Fabulous Freebirds are the famed wrestling team. Of family of the 70s, and as well as also they were in the beginning of Highlander, and it was, but it was not the Samoa Kid, it was the Tonga Kid. Yes, Kevin, we boycotted as well as a whole slew of other, like something like 60, 80 other countries, boycotted the 1980 Olympics. Because it was in Russia, and they were protesting. It wasn't necessarily the Cold War specifically. They were protesting the
Cuban
Afghanistan situation. And then in 1984, Russia and a bunch of the Eastern Bloc countries did not participate in the 1984 Olympics because I believe that, if I remember correctly, and I remember correctly, I mean, looked up on Wikipedia, the USSR announced its intention not to participate, citing chauvinistic sentiments and an anti-Soviet hysteria being whipped up in the United States. And you know what whipped it up? Sam the Eagle. Was it Sam? Is that what his name? Do you remember Sam the Eagle? He was the logo.
Yeah, he was the Muppet Baby we touched.
About
Sam
the Eagle, because that was the LA Olympics. Yep. If you remember... he was, you know, he was like a top hat. He was like a proud eagle.
Yep.
But Sam the Eagle's also a Muppet. I know that.
I just said that.
More importantly, just if you go anywhere in Koreatown, you can still buy Sam the Eagle shit.
All right. Let's go. Well, thanks for fact correcting us.
I have a feeling he's going to come back. Either that or he was on a landline. This is going to make me really angry because...
How much more has it got?
About 40 seconds. Or no. 20 seconds.
Talk until it goes away.
Yeah, yeah. But but for a second, I thought that we were gonna—he was gonna jump back in, right, and we would walk on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it looks like it's just because he was on a landline.
Well, I'm glad he was there to correct some of my facts. In our defense, we're trivia stokers. We don't claim to be the authority on this. It's just to give you something.
I do
to talk about
because all of the.
Oh, here it goes. If you'd like to make a call.
Nope, that was. Yes, it was recalling him. That's hilarious. Because and here's the thing, because he admitted to not being hungover, and that's why he could call us in early. Yeah, yeah. What I think he doesn't remember
is that
he did tell us that it was supposed to be us because it was in the chat room.
It was in the chat room.
Which brings me to my next segment that we forgot to do before.
Just to put a pin in that, Jordan, you told us to do this in the chat room.
In the chat room during the show.
You were drunk then.
And this is the show before that show.
Yeah.
I don't have that part of the chat where you say 70s wrestling, but you guys might remember a couple shows back. Is it two shows back? Am I right?
It is now, yeah.
Two shows.
The same chat.
Two shows back, we had one of the nice things about the Ustream is that sometimes we'll have somebody drop on by. You may remember for anybody, that was just a test show, though, huh? That wasn't our first show where we had the 16-year-old Filipino model slash singer wannabe actress that wanted us to help her break
in. That was the hottest night we ever had at the second funniest Ustream.
Here's why I'm saying this, because I was guilty of doing the same thing that one of our other listeners, who we talked about as Sky Jedi on the show here. So let me find the right spot. Let's see. Where's a good spot to begin? Very funny. I'm sure. Here she is. Okay. So there's this girl who's known as Heather, but her like screen name is Heather NR. I don't know what that means. But we're wrapping up the show. And let's see. I thought she was Heather because I think we have a fan who's a friend of PJ from across the pond whose name is Heather. And she listens to the show. So when I saw Heather on here, I thought she was watching, and she says, I'm not from England. And then Kevin says, what will you guys do when we're not talking? And then Sky Jedi says, leave. And then says Heather says, I don't know, leave. Wait, I'm going way too far back. I should have looked at this beforehand. I'm apologizing in advance. Let's go back here. Sky Jedi. Oh, here we go. Opinion of... Okay, so here's where Sky Jedi is cool, is what Heather says. Opinion of Heather just changed, says Sky Jedi. Heather says, LOL. Sky Jedi says, I was totally going to slam you, but now I like you. Heather, LOL. Sky Jedi, nice freeze frame of Kevin's head. Heather, ha ha ha. And then Kevin says in the chat, night crazies. And Sky Jedi says, now I am sad. Heather says, me too. Sky Jedi says, perhaps Heather should start dancing because Kevin was dancing on the webcam before we ended the show. Heather says, why? And then Sky Jedi says, why not? And Heather says, I don't know. So this Sky Jedi says, then dance. Heather says, how could you see me? Sky Jedi says, you could broadcast it. We are on a broadcasting website. Heather says, okay, I will, but I'm co-hosting. Sky Jedi says, awesome. Heather says, okay, the name is I am co-hosting. And then Sky Jedi leaves to go watch the web show, immediately comes back to our chat room and says, oh crap, she is like 12. So he talked a 12-year-old chick into dancing for him on a webcam completely innocently. The assumption that
it's like the worst sting operation ever.
Oh, it was so awesome. And then he goes, she doesn't even know how to say Jedi, so I guess she was broadcasting. I want to know what she was, Jedi. Oh gosh. And then Sky Jedi says, sorry though, you were thought you were much older. And then Heather says, how old are you? And Sky Jedi says, 28. And Heather says, oh, that's cool, I'm 12.
To which Sky Jedi responds,
yeah, I saw that.
This is the kind of pedophile action you can experience in the Ustream chat room right now.
Heather says, okay. And then she says, are you a mom? And then Sky Jedi says, I'm a dude. And then Heather says, oh, are you a dad then? And he goes, nope. And then J-Dops Rosa goes, I'm a worship. So he's just lurking in the background while
reading.
All happening. And then Sky Jedi says, I'm quite uncomfortable now. I'm going to go to bed, I think. And then J-Dubs Rosa goes, I'm going to go back to work. And then Heather says, why are you uncomfortable, Sky Jedi? And then Sky Jedi says, because you are quite young. And Heather says, okay.
off to watch the second funniest podcast.
Oh, gosh. See, this is why we Ustream the show now. This is why. So
look at that, free content.
Moments of a fan of mine from Sacramento. This guy who's very polite and nice.
Completely a man of character, because he probably could have had some of that underaged.
A man of character, because only because he turned it down. It has nothing to do with anything else about him. We don't know him.
I don't know him. He could be a pedophile, just not in our chat room.
Oh, maybe he was like, maybe tonight was his off night.
Yeah. Jedi Sack Man, if that's true, I apologize.
Sky Jedi. Or maybe she just wasn't his type. Maybe that's
all of these are possible.
Maybe he's a chubby chaser. You don't know what he does. So do you want to listen to this other voicemail?
Yeah,
now?
So here, I'll back this up. This morning, I woke up. Well, actually, I say that part. So go ahead. Play it, and then I'll have to give you the background.
Here it is.
Hey there, Second Funniest Podcast. It's me, Kevin Miller. I just woke up. And for some reason, this thought was rolling through my head, and I wanted to share with you. I'm an early adopter of technology, and maybe there are some listeners out there that are also earlier adopters of technology, and you know what I mean. Like, I had a digital camera 10, 15 years ago before everybody had digital cameras. So, you know, I have all these pictures or these videos of people where they're waiting for me to take the picture, and they were just sitting there frozen. You've probably seen these videos where people are just sitting there standing, watching the video from inside the video, waiting for the flash to go off. And you have to tell them off camera, and you hear all that muffled sound because the microphone is right behind the lens. Oh, look, you sound like a jackass in this video, 10 years old, with Mbop in the background. But, and then after a while, my family, people began to catch on, and now I have videos. Then I had videos of people looking at the camera, and you can see their eyes dart over to the flashing orange light, and then they know it's a video. And then they're telling the poor waiter that's just frozen, it's a video. He's just taking a video. He's really obnoxious. Like, thanks, Grandma. But I always had early adopting technology. Like, my computer, way before the iPod was ever around, I would dump all my music onto my computer. And it doesn't sound all that impressive now, I know that. But back in the day, dumping all your music on your computer was a novel idea. And I would put it on shuffle and listen to it. But, man, was it a pain to take that anywhere I wanted to go. Not like an iPod. Whoever came up with that was a smart man, because my desktop computer is not portable. And try to get that on a plane with you. Sit there so many times, my giant desktop computer sitting on my lap. It was before 9/11, and it was a different time. Man, back in the day, they never had plugs on the planes. So I'd just be sitting there with a desktop computer on my lap the whole way home. It was a stupid idea. Anything like that. On my computer, I had email, and I grew up in San Jose, went to school at San Jose State. And that's where the Internet was born, thanks to that governor guy. I don't know, Schwarzenegger or whatever. And everybody had email addresses with your name attached to it. We were actually advised by professors at San Jose State to get your name as an email address. So I'm vkevinmiller.com, which, try explaining that over the phone to people. They think it's V Kevin Miller, or then I have to say the Kevin Miller, and they think it's duh Kevin Miller. Like, speak English.
These people are dumb.
Guy. But I had a teacher who actually said 10% of your grade had to be that you got an email address, which at the time sounded like 10% of your grade needs to be go build a car in your backyard. And now 10% of your grade needs to be an email address is a little like 10% of your grade needs to be that you can blink. It's just not fair, but early adopters know this problem. And
early adopters.
I get it now.
Come up with a phrase
as an early adopter, I know it's not that impressive being on this side of technology, because you all have an iPod, and you all have a computer, and you all have a car in your backyard. I get it. But I know I sound a lot like my grandma right now. She would always be going, you've got to see this. I have this tiny little room in my house, and it's really cold in there. But the second story of the tiny little room is freezing. Seriously, child. Water is turning to ice. Yeah. Grandma was nuts. We were finding ice cube trays inside shoe boxes in her linen closet for months after she died.
I'm really proud of that.
Oh, Grandma. Okay, well, that's my time. I woke up and I thought about that this morning and I had to share with somebody, so I thought it should be you. Second funniest podcast. Okay, love you, bye.
Early adopters. Now you have a club. Now you are a society. Early adopters. I like also your comparison between all of a sudden saying, back then getting an email address was like saying, build a car in your backyard.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
That everybody also now parks in their backyard. But more so, what I'm thinking is clearly you have never built a car because it is much, much harder than what you just made
that's
it sound
what I,
like.
That's my point.
No.
10 years ago, it was difficult.
Getting an email address is nowhere near compared to building a car in your backyard.
When that teacher told us, the room full of college-age kids, 10% of your grade is having an email address, you could feel the room become like, really? Really? What do I do? What does that even mean? I don't understand.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's not like a chassis of a car could just be taken into little boxes and put, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, you got to get a crane to lift it over, or maybe you can get 4 or 5 or 8 guys who can help you carry it on its side.
Yeah, have you tried to get an email address before this millennia?
No.
You had to get a crane. Listen, I think you're getting too far into this. Why? My attempt to do comedy.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I know what it was. I know exactly what it was. And I almost called it. I was like, it seems to me that this clip is very close to 5 minutes. I feel like
it's
Kevin is trying to research his type five. And usually you want to do that kind of thing in front of a crowd so you can get a live reaction.
It was hard. I had to imagine the laughs.
Yeah. I think you imagined a few in there that probably weren't there.
Really? You think?
I'm not saying it wasn't funny. But here's the problem with me. I'm not the best judge of this.
Really? You normally laugh at a club when no one laughs. So
exactly.
Since you didn't laugh,
I think everything you do is funny. Yeah, everything you do is very funny to me. I wonder if somebody's already calling in to chime in on this. All right, hello. You are on the Second Funniest Podcast with Justin and Kevin. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Constantine Anthony, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hello, Constantine.
Constantine, you've been on the show.
Yeah.
I know.
He said, I know, I know.
I haven't been listening live, so catch me up. What are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about early adoption. I this morning woke up with my stand-up 5-minute routine just sitting in my brain, so I called the show and left a voicemail, and it was my attempt at 5 minutes of stand-up. Have you ever done stand-up?
I have done stand-up, yeah. I've done stand-up in San Francisco. I did it down here for a little bit. I have, if you go to YouTube and type Constantine Anthony and do a search, my 5-minute chat is up.
Better idea. Better idea. Ready, go. You called us.
You guys suck. Play it. It's funny.
This is why we'll play it. We'll put it at the end of the show. How about that? But this is also, I think this is a key component that Kevin is missing, is that you do want somebody there live.
Wait. He's thinking that actually recording it to a voicemail is going to be a good venue for a stand-up?
No, well, here's the point. Here's what happened is I honestly woke up and this whole idea was in my head. And I kept thinking, this is pretty funny.
It is.
I don't own a voice recorder and I've never done anything like this ever. So you
use the service that I pay for.
It's just sitting there. No one calls the effing thing. You pay.
We just played a 3-minute voicemail from our drinker buddy, J-Dubs.
Yeah, that's
wait,
the one.
Wait, but you thought you weren't using it just to write down a note. You were using it to actually perform your stand-up.
Yeah, yes. There was one bit that I think I meant to put the punchline. I did it too soon.
Go back and listen to this show, Constantine, and it's like he was in a coffee shop. That's exactly what it was like.
I thought it was pretty good.
I'm not saying. Here's the thing. I don't want this to come across like I'm saying it wasn't good. That's not my point. I'm just saying.
I think we're going to change the podcast. I think every week I need to call in.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I would love for an 8:30 a.m. phone call coming in from Kevin Miller with his ramblings, because you already got a catchphrase. It's early adopter.
Early adopters.
Early.
And I worked in my email at my website into the middle of the thing. Like all the things we've talked about, it just came to me in one nugget in my brain.
I got lightheaded from laughing at that one.
What makes an adopter an early adopter.
My is point is that, that
like
I...
the guy at the front of the line, or...?
No, no, early adopters of technology. I'm always ahead of the curve when it comes to technology and innovate ways. Like I had, in the you'll listen, I had music on my computer far before everybody was dumping music on their computer. I had a digital camera making digital movies on my digital camera long before everybody was doing it. And just sort of the...
I don't understand how you can make technology adopt babies faster. How does that work?
No, early adopt. I'm the earlier adopter. I don't adopt a baby. What's wrong with you?
Now you guys are a comedy duo.
I'm like, dude, you're a single guy and you have no business adopting babies.
No, he didn't get it.
Everybody else.
See, this is why you should also go to that YouTube click, because this is not a bit that Constantine is doing.
Right.
This is him genuinely thinking that Kevin is trying to early adopt a baby. Like, and he's probably trying to go, so you're trying to adopt the kid before the lady is pregnant? Like the troubled teen?
Yeah,
gets...
like, are you trying to cut in line? I don't understand.
No, yeah, what he's doing.
Sign this, my name is Rumpelstiltskin.
What he's doing is he's trolling the high schools of North Hollywood looking for some angst-filled teen with heavy eyeliner.
I don't nail her. Somebody else does, but I claim the baby.
Hey, little girl. Hey, little girl. I know you're not knocked up yet, but when you are, call me.
Yeah, exactly. He waits for her to walk by herself carrying her paper bag-covered textbooks in front of her lap.
That's a state mandate.
And then he just kind of pulls up, and then he says, hey, Lola, listen to me.
Lola.
Listen to me real good.
This
right?
is so much easier to tell when it's funny because we're here to laugh at you.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah, thank you. Listen here,
oh,
Lola.
Oh, goodness. My whole stand-up is about how I get confused about stuff like that all the time.
As it should be, because I'm trying to tell you what Kevin is going to say to this Latina chick going to North Hollywood High. He's going to say, listen, Lola, I'm from the future, and I'm here to tell you. The only way to fill that void from your absent father is to have as much sex as possible, preferably unprotected, so you can hang on to your Catholic roots. And then he just waits for the flower to bloom. And that is an early adopter.
That's me. Yeah. I have a business card.
I have a business card.
It's a picture of your unloving father.
I wanted to call and say I'm at the Hollywood Fringe Festival, and there's a whole bunch of shows going on around town in Los Angeles. Go to hollywoodfringe.org, and there's a bunch of local LA theater. And nice. If you guys want to check that out, I just wanted to put that out there.
No, do. Please do. I like that you're now our man on the street.
Yeah.
J. Dobbs Rosa, he does movie critics or movie reviews for us, and now you could be our what's happening in L.A. Like, here's what I would like. I would like
correspondence.
I would like a Constantine Anthony to at least check in once a month. Yeah. Maybe you do what's going on in L.A. and celebrity gossip for us. That would also be fun if that would be fun for you. That's what's missing from our morning show here. That we.
You guys need a Perez Hilton. That's
yeah,
what you need.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Because you're also directing a show with Aquaman, the Vulcans, and some Transformers, right?
Yes. There is a wonderful show called Death 40 Feet Tall, and it's a one-woman show. Her name is Pam Knowles, and she put it together just from experiences working on the film Transformers. She was an extra on the film Transformers, and she talks about her and her best friend and how they're a bunch of nerds growing up and what it's like being black and a woman and a nerd at the same time.
That's a
wonderful
small sliver.
Hour-long show. If I can promo that, there's one. It's Thursday at 11 o'clock, Friday at 3 o'clock, and Saturday at 9 o'clock, all at the Comedy Sports Ballroom Theater, 733 North Seward. Wonderful show. Absolutely hilarious. If you love Vulcans and Aquaman and Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that nerd stuff, do come check it out.
So wait, was she an extra on Aquaman? Because I didn't know they made a movie.
No.
She just talks about it.
On Transformers.
That's it. So she was not an extra on G.I. Joe's or anything?
She's the one who likes Aquaman.
She's a reporter. She's a news reporter. And
Wait, she's also a news reporter? Like a legit journalist?
No, because they wouldn't let journalists on because it's like, you know, big hush-hush Michael Bay film. And so so she had to get booked as an extra.
She had to
do the whole thing where you sign up and get work. And
her bread and butter, though, is journalism?
Journalism, yes. Yeah.
Like
it's a wonderful story.
Like newspaper journalist or what?
She does print. She works magazines and newspapers. She's been around town. She used to work in Florida and Palm Springs for magazines and newspapers and periodicals and all that kind of stuff. So.
That's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Is she also working on the new Smurfs movie that I saw a preview for? A live action Smurfs movie that takes place in New York City?
I just saw the trailer about an hour ago.
Pretty horrific.
Wow.
Where are people seeing this trailer?
IMDb.
Because it's online. I mean, you know, Smurf happens.
Yeah, it's a terrible trailer. Don't even bother.
I'm not.
It has one good clip of the Smurfs and then another clip after.
So it's like Godzilla where it's like...
Worse. It's like pictures of landmarks turning blue.
They do this wonderfully original. I have never seen it before. They take the Smurfs theme song and they remix it with Tone Loc's Wild Thing. I mean, taking a classic song that everyone knows and loves from their childhood and mixing it with a song that's kind of old and outdated. Wonderful, wonderful technique.
And a song that's probably played on more movie trailers than any other song imaginable, other than that new Kesha song.
Don't stop making it. Like, you know what I love is when Costa is sarcastic, because it's a level of irony that I don't think my brain can wrap around. It's sort of like a lens so far that if I wraps around the earth, I would see the future.
Is there any way for you guys to play just the last part of that trailer just to hear that song? Because it's so bad.
It is pretty bad.
Is it? All right. I'll try and find a way.
It's on IMDb. It's probably on the front page.
Is that the real... Is all this stuff the real reason why you called in, or did you just call in to BS with us?
Oh, actually, I called in because of... I saw you on your Twitter that you were up and live, and I'm at the Hollywood Fringe, and I wanted to promo it.
Oh, now are you participating in this Hollywood Fringe?
I'm basically the technical director for the ballroom theater. All the shows that come through, I run lights, I run sound, I'm the house manager, I take tickets. So I get to see them all and help them with their, you know, create the theater.
No one calls it that.
How am I, here, come here and look at this guy, because how am I supposed to know which one is the one? That
is a good one.
I know. That's what I'm trying to. I'm assuming this one. Would it be the top one?
There's a review. Backstage West put out a big review this morning, I think. And they went through and they basically said, you know, yes or no, yes or no. They reviewed a whole bunch of shows. And
they haven't seen it, though.
This one's a must see.
The Smurfs? Oh, no. You're talking about something else.
How far into the song?
It's right at the end here. Just scrolling, and there you go.
Right here?
Yep.
All right, here it is. The Smurf theme mixed with Wild Thing. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
That was it?
It goes a little further back.
Oh, okay. Let me go back because I want to see.
Go right to the taxi cab where it says Smurf happens.
Now that is it.
Wow. Wow, you guys are right. Yeah, but here's the real funny thing is that I'm going to go see it.
Oh, I'm going to see it. The Smurfs look amazing.
Yeah.
I'm angry that it's happening in New York City. I'm like, another movie that takes place in New York City. Why would the Smurfs be in New York City? They live three apples high. They don't have any business getting to a big metropolis like that. No, why aren't they protecting the forest? Gargamel is after them!
They're three apples high, so they go to the big apples. That's where they're going.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
That they figured this is going to be their big mushroom.
Do you remember the mushrooms we had at Great America?
Yes, that
back
in the back.
Day?
Yeah.
And then they moved them in the back, but prior to that, they smelled like pee.
When they were still in the park?
They're still in the park. They smelled like urine.
Well, maybe the Smurfs still live there, and they had invented Smurf plumbing.
We need to ask Puppetry Pete. Good old Pete Adams.
What if he called in and was like, actually, seriously, the Smurfs did live there. And, they did not.
And I'm in this movie.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Costa. Enjoy the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And yeah, go ahead. You can remember, we'll play it at the end, but if you want to see Constantine's...
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Go to YouTube and search Constantine Anthony. Am I right?
That's right.
With a K.
Yeah,
and we'll play the audio of it at the end of our show. Thank you very much, Constantine.
Yay! Cool! Thanks, guys. All right, have fun. I'll see you maybe at Fringe.
Okay, bye.
All right,
bye.
Now, let's go back to my comedy here, because I don't think I got a fair shake.
What do you mean a fair shake?
I thought the performance was pretty good, considering it was 8:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I was doing it for nobody at all. I kept thinking, make it funny,
uh-huh.
Say it funnily. funny wise.
Uh-huh.
And I think I succeeded.
I'm going to shoot straight with you.
Okay.
I'm going to be absolutely straight with you.
In your 4 years of... How long have you been doing stand-up now?
This is my fourth year.
That's amazing.
But I have a TV credit.
I'm so proud of you.
So that gives me credit.
You got that credit in like the first year.
Second year. Yeah.
So you should have at least one more by now.
Don't even get me going. I'm trying so hard. But if anybody knows anybody at Ferguson or wants to start an emailing campaign to Ferguson to get me on that show...
Or if you want to pick me up...
Awesome.
The Kevin Miller, I'm the early adopter. You can check me out.
You could also buy his comedy CD.
Earlyadopters.org. I got to go see if that
comicsdo.tv when they can't afford the .com.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I don't know how it's cheaper, but I
it is cheaper.
That.
It's because of a non-existent server. Go ahead.
So anyway, in my honest opinion, do I want you to continue to call in and do 5 minutes of your stand-up in the morning? Yes, definitely. do I think if you did that in front of a crowd... would it get laughs? Yes, I think it would. It just needs to be like it needs to be tighter because it does. What it does is it sounds like ramblings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I was gonna say before,
I actually had notes to remember the three main things to talk about.
God bless you. You just did an open mic set with nobody there. That's what you did. You brought your little notepad and yep. and you were 45 seconds shy of your 5 minutes. Perfect. Couldn't have gone better.
Earlyadopters.com is taken though.
What?
These guys have it. Yeah.
What is it for? My idea of like
no. Early Adopters is a broadcast media outlet which reviewers consumer electronics and computer products. That's me. We are based in San Francisco and our product focus is on new and innovative consumer oriented hardware and software, including prestige and or pioneering technology, which are brand new in the marketplace.
Wow. So it looks like somebody just found their new Amazon.
Yeah.
You're just gonna go there. Just gonna go like, what do you guys got?
It's just the same picture of four different things. Every page has a picture of a really old camera, a really old printer, the iPhone, and one of those digital picture frames, which, by the way, I had before most people had.
Which, to me, this whole early adopter thing, I think there's more...
I didn't make it up as my point. Early adopters is a word. Like, that's a technology term.
But I'm saying that I think that the real point is that you just spend more money on the thing before all of the rest
of us
do.
That's also true. That's also true.
Yeah. So to me, I don't know like how great that is. You know what I mean? Because my dad, when he was younger, was also an early adopter.
Yeah.
He paid something like $3,000 to have two cell phones or something in his car.
Because he needed to call himself on the other side of his car.
But that's the thing. No, but he the only thing that the only practical application I saw for it, because it's like he bought this thing, but it was like, don't use it. It costs like $3 a minute. So I was like even at like eight, I was like, well, then why do we have
why
this?
Do you have it?
But the only time I saw him use it practically, and I've talked about this on the show, where he called people that would dodge the paper route collection, and he would park out in front of their house. And then they'd be like, oh, I'm on my way out the door. He's like, it's okay, I'm right outside. And then, like, you as an early adopter can relate to this, where people are like, what, how, that's impossible.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me. Yep.
The, like with your video camera thing.
So, early adopters. But you know what, though? All of those are really good points. And you know what I'm going to do for you?
What are you
Because I'm going to incorporate those into my act.
All right. That's right. Because I did have notes, some good, some bad.
Ooh, good callback.
All right. So our topic this week is...
What?
Oh, trivia challenge.
Oh, great. We're doing those?
Yeah.
Great. That's good.
Our trivia challenge this week is the South Pole.
The South Pole.
Yes.
Howdy.
I think that we.
What is the sentence?
I don't.
You were trying
my
to
mind
form?
Just went.
Eight thoughts trying to get out of the
exactly.
same hole.
Because I think I went the more traditional route. I think I'm going to go first.
Yes.
Because I think yours are going to be far more interesting.
How did you know? I mean, no, I didn't think you were going to say interesting.
Oh,
abstract.
Okay. Let's see. Here's what I put this. I grabbed this little paragraph that I thought was interesting about Antarctica. Is that in the extreme north of Antarctica, which in my opinion is every direction, there are reindeer and muskox are found in numbers, but not a single land quadruped exists beyond 50 degrees of southern latitude. Flowers, this is like I thought it was just a big ice mass.
No.
But there's land there. Flowers
did
are
you,
seen...
Are you serious? You
no.
did not know that it was a land mass?
No, I knew that it was a land mass, but I thought it was completely covered in ice. Like there was no chance for anything to live. Because my real question is, how did the reindeer and muskox get there, which I could not find the answer to. It says flowers are seen in the summer by the Arctic Navigator as far as 78 degrees north, but no plant of any description, not even a moss or lichen, which is like a form of algae, if I remember my biology class.
Ding.
Which lives in like water and stuff, has been observed beyond Cockburn Island in 64 degrees, 12 minutes south latitude. In Spitsbergen, 79 degrees north, vegetation ascends the mountain slopes to a height of 3,000 feet, but on every land within or near the Antarctic Circle, the snow line descends to the water's edge. The highest latitude ever reached at the south is 70 degrees, 10 minutes, which all that means nothing to me. I think I was just grabbing that because of the references to like the animal life, because I thought penguins and fish live there, and that was it.
Mm.
And I was wrong.
Wrong.
I found a cool like fun facts, like it's like some kind of Antarctica page, which is different from the first one that I mentioned. It says, Antarctica is a continent of contradictions, volcanoes erupting from a frozen landscape.
Yes.
I didn't know they had volcanoes.
Beautiful.
Miles of snow and ice, yet hardly any snow falls each year. An arid land surrounded by three oceans. This is the one that I found out that although 98% of the Antarctica is ice, there is land beneath the ice cover, unlike the Arctic, where the ice floats on top of the ocean.
Yes, there is no land.
So that's the North Pole.
That's the North Pole.
The North Pole, there is no landmass.
Past, you know, Canada.
The average temperature on the Antarctic continent is negative 49 degrees Celsius. The lowest temperature ever recorded anywhere on Earth was measured here at negative 128 degrees, 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 89 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. Water temperature averages a comparative balmy 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Saltwater temperature will drop to about 28 degrees Fahrenheit before it freezes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny that we do this stuff, and then it's like I hope that people aren't going, oh god, you know, here we go.
There's a science lesson. No, but make it funny.
I know. Well, I don't know how, because
it's freezing ice and salt. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah turned into pillars of Antarctica. Ding.
You're gonna be great.
This is gonna be good.
I see great things coming out of you.
Yeah. I'm an early adopter.
For 6 months every year, the sun shines 24 hours a day at the South Pole, but don't expect it to warm you up much. Winds reach up to 200 miles per hour along the coast. During the dark 6 months of the year, the Antarctic winter, our summer, the South Pole station has a population of 28 people who can't leave. I want to know what they're doing, which they don't go into here. For 7 months, from early February until a plane flies in midwinter with supplies, their only link to the outside world is via the internet, phone, and radio.
Mm, like Hawaii. Yeah, I think, they're doing science experiments there. There are people that are constantly monitoring it, and it is a strategic place, so there's a lot of military investment, which I researched as well.
Well, it says here also that much of the information learned about Antarctica is actually done from space.
That's where they get most
of the information.
Back to your part about it being touching three oceans, it's like, you know, how Europe and Asia are supposedly different continents, but how are they different continents when they're actually connected completely? Yeah. It's the same thing, like, what defines an ocean if they all actually touch each other
at some point?
Exactly.
I think it's civilizations.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's what really defines like the where the lines are drawn.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing about Antarctica: what time is it? Is a tricky question in a place where all the time zones converge. So everyone in Antarctica officially goes by New Zealand time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. That's all I have on that. I have another website over here. Let's see. This is one that I liked. I'll save that one for last. There's evidently something called Ice Cube, which is a telescope that's being built in Antarctica that's going to do all these things. The travel time from Los Angeles to the South Pole is approximately 48 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be... I don't know. I wish I knew. Cause
is that air time? That's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm angry. No one should be in the air for 40 effing hours. That's a long time.
The average amount of fuel to drill each hole, to drill like the holes to go back. What they're doing is they're taking core samples of the ice or whatever.
Sell it.
Was 4,800 gallons just to drill one hole in Antarctica. There was one other thing in here that I thought was interesting. Antarctica is the coldest, windiest, and driest place on Earth. So even with all the snow, it's completely dry. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. I guess because it's frozen?
Yeah. It'd be dry air. That makes sense.
Yeah. I know that when I saw Whiteout with, I think, Kate Beckinsale.
Mm. She went with you?
She, yeah, her and I, we did, it was a date thing. It didn't work out.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is more interesting than whatever stupid joke I was going to say about whiteout. There are more than 40 flying bird species that spend their summers in Antarctica.
Amazing.
Because that's what I, that's, when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. When birds fly south for the winter, how far south do they go? Evidently. All the way. They go all the way.
And then they come back around and they end up on another part of the world.
During the summer, more solar radiation reaches the South Pole than is received in an equivalent period at the equator.
Yeah.
Wow. Antarctica is 10% of the Earth's land area. How does that make sense?
They have 10 out of the complete mass of the Earth. They the represents 10% of it.
Okay. Only 2% of Antarctica's land is not covered in ice. That's where I think the flowers grow. Of that. And this is what I'm going to end my little tidbits here on is they had the best, because here's what I thought when we first got this topic. I'm like, how fun would it be to, and fun maybe
this topic?
An exaggeration.
What topic?
I mean, this trivia challenge.
Oh, we're doing that.
This is like we're not calling it that.
No, we do new bits all the time. We don't recycle bits. I wish that this was an old character I used to do in the show. But we all know I don't do characters.
The JK Show Lost Episodes is what the Asian character that Kevin does.
Oh, yo. My name is Jason Nimamura.
My first thought was when we got this trivia challenge was how do we, like, what do you think it's possible for somebody to go to vacation on the South Pole? Because I imagine that people would want to. You know what I mean?
Some weird honeymooners, I'm
sure.
Well,
it made me interested because I was like, you know, I think I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up vacations in the South Pole, and this is what came up was on Wired.com, the best geek vacations.
Yes.
The South Pole, Chernobyl, and Tatooine. And so it's the top eight places that if you're a nerd, you should go on vacation. So I thought this is right up our alley for our listeners. So I'm going to count them down because I think they get more nerdy as they go.
Can I give you the numbers?
Yes.
Do I start with 10?
No, you start with 8. Okay. And it the first one is our trivia challenge. So
all right. Number 10.
8.
Number 8.
It costs around $5,000 and can be damn cold, minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit in winter, but a cruise around Amundsen Scott South Pole Station will warm any geek's heart. Alternatively, sign up for a working vacation at McMurdo Station. It has the bleak landscape and soul-numbing chill, but there are bars to go to at night.
Do they have the station platform that the ancients left to defend Earth from the gold?
That might be an excursion.
But no, not a Stargate package? Okay.
No. They didn't. It's not. I mean, I'm sure you could pick that up when you're, you know, boarded there.
I think it's very impressive that I can pull those references out.
Did I seem not impressed?
No, I know you are, but most people aren't.
You want to make sure that the people that aren't in the room again. See, again, you want to get...
Number 7!
New Zealand, a tour of the Lord of the Rings shot locations is as close as you're ever going to come to meeting Gandalf. Guides will show you Mata Mata, Hobbiton... Like, here's what it says. Mata Mata, and then in parentheticals to clarify what Mata Mata is Hobbiton.
I understood it.
Oh, good. Kaitoki Regional Park, Rivendell, and Mount Sunday, Adoras, home to the Horse Lords of Rohan.
It's awesome.
8-foot broadswords sold separately.
Is Tom Domdebill not there either? Because he wasn't in the movies.
Number 6. That'll be my laugh when I don't get your reference.
I'm going to try to do a reference you don't get for all of these.
Welcome to the underground dwellings that were... City Driss Hotel. Welcome to the underground dwellings that were Luke Skywalker's Tatooine home in Star Wars. There in the Burg of Mat Mata, which is not Hobbiton. Mat Mata, Tunisia, and are now lodging Geeko tourists? Or that's not right. You guys got to fix that City Trees Hotel. Geeko tourists? That sounds like gecko and you want to get insurance. Fix it, a-holes. What else is there to do? Day trip over to the nearby town of Gabes, which, despite what you may have heard, is not a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Bet you they got plenty of power converters over at the Tachi station.
Number 5! I got that one.
Damn. Okay, hold on. I bet you if you milk that cabbage, it'll turn into some sort of cream. Yeah, that's what the Aunt Ruth is doing for some reason in the foreground. She's dropping cabbage into, I think, a steamer, and it comes out like milk. Blah, 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 blah. Number five,
Mauna Kea Observatory. Hawaii doesn't have to be about boring activities like lying on the beach, sipping Mai Tais. And what's not listed here for these geeks is unbelievably hot Polynesian chicks running around in barely fabriced bikinis.
That, you're not to a Star Trek reference yet. Nope. So
instead, rent a 4x4 and trek to Mauna Kea, one of the most striking observatories on Earth. Stop at the visitor center where you can view sunspots during daylight hours. Leave the surf shorts behind, and at an altitude of nearly 14,000 feet, it can dip below freezing after dark.
What was that a reference to?
I don't know, but I felt like I had to because all the others had a joke at the end and I didn't. Well,
but I don't understand what science fiction nerdy reference is it to?
I don't, yeah.
I assume Lost is the only.
It can dip below freezing after dark.
Is it Riddick? No, Chronicles of Riddick did not take place in a tropical paradise. We're going to go with Lost.
Okay.
Did you know, I learned this from the pre-show, that only out of the entire 6 years that that show was filmed, only four scenes were not filmed in Hawaii.
Wow.
Blows your mind.
I know. Well, yeah.
Only four. A lot of things where I thought they were shooting in Europe or they went out into, you know.
Or even on the
London.
Mainland.
Nope. Most things there after a while, like I began to caught on. I'm like, that's not the Australian embassy. That's the convention center. I've been there.
I wonder if they like transported all the crew from LA. I mean, imagine they have a production company.
Some of them are. Right? Yeah. But a lot of the extras, you know, in the first couple of seasons were just
Hawaiian people.
Hawaiian people living there on the islands. Yep.
Number four. Tour. Jet to Switzerland and watch I think
number four.
I think it says artisanal.
Artisanal.
Okay. Well, that's not nearly as interesting. Never mind. I'm going to bail on this.
Number three.
Artisanal physicists actually make their own antimatter. Samples not available. There's your Star Trek. Who knows? Maybe you'll spot the subatomic Higgs boson while peering into the Large Hadron Collider, 17 miles of superconducting magnets.
Oh, cool.
Word to the wise, book at least 4 months ahead.
V'ger had it coming.
Number three. I like this one. Palo Alto, California. Silicon Valley's ground zero is within spitting distance of the most influential tech companies, from Apple to Yahoo.
Really?
I get it? A to Y, because there's no Z. Other attractions gawking at famous Hewlett-Packard Garage, touring the Tech Museum of Innovation in San Jose, and sneaking into the Google cafeteria. And if you visit San Francisco, feel free to admire Wired's offices from the street.
I have no Star Trek reference. Number two,
Chernobyl, Ukraine. The highlight of the Chernobyl bus tour, Pripyat, a town whose 47,000 inhabitants had to split within 36 hours of the meltdown. While wandering abandoned schools and other buildings, keep an eye out for freaky mutant plant life and salty squatters who have taken up residence in the exclusion zone. So there's freak. I hope that this isn't a bit because
no,
I love.
Sounds real.
I love the idea that there's mutated plant life and people who are like, I know this is uninhabitable, but I'm going to prove you wrong.
Splinter's there now.
And Splinter.
Number one.
Tokyo, Japan. Skip the pachinko parlors and fish market and head straight to Akihabara, the ultimate red light district for gadget fetishists. After that take in either the Ghibli, dedicated to anime kings, Miyazaki, and Isao Takahata, or Bandai Museums, don't forget to save a day for the Sega Joypolis.
Yes.
Is Sega still around? Oh, they make games
totally.
Still, huh?
They're still around, yeah.
So that's all my stuff on Antarctica.
I forgot. I forgot a thing that I was supposed to include in my voicemail tonight. Oh. Can I just do it now?
Okay. You want to wait till the end?
No, I'm just going to do it now.
All right, go.
Okay, so it was the part about emails. So, like, I have, you know, thekevinmiller.com. Uh-huh. I just closed my eyes like Michael Scott did when he was trying to do his routine for the room at the wedding, which makes me laugh even more. So I'm going to keep doing it. So I have thekevinmiller.com, which it was even impressive when I moved down to LA, because people all the time would want to be like, wow, you have your own email address with your own name. How did you even do that? That's incredible.
Well, I built a car in my backyard.
Don't get ahead of me. And they're like,
I'm sorry.
They're like that. I'm like, well, I'm from San Jose. That's where Apple and Google is. And they're like, do you want an autograph from Google, Sandra Bullock? Man, I wish I'd done it this morning, because it was hilarious.
Do you want... Oh, okay, I get it now. So sick. Wait, are you just saying words? But what you're saying is now you're having this conversation with Sandra Bullock.
You see, my comedy is about reversing people's perspectives. I set them up, and then I take their feet out from underneath them.
Okay.
Let me explain to you how comedy works.
Okay.
How do you want Who Discovered Antarctica read to? In Santa Claus voice? Or in the movie tone guy?
Movie tone guy.
They're the same guy. All right, here we go. Although there was...
I felt like something was just yanked underneath my feet.
Although there was, for centuries, a tradition that another land lay south of the known world, attempts to find it were defeated by the ice. And then we see a picture of ice.
Okay.
All right. Antarctica's frigid nature... See, I already lost the character. Was revealed by
the Asian guy.
Antarctica's frigid nature was revealed by the second voyage, 1772 to 75. You should use an M dash, not a dash. On the English explorer, Captain James Cook. Oh, boy. Oh,
we have a phone call. All right. Thanks for calling the second funniest podcast. You're on with Justin and Kevin. Who is this? Please turn down your computer.
All right. It's turned down.
Who is this?
Hello, Justin. How's it going?
It's going good. Who is this? Or do we? Or do we want to play a game?
Ooh, yeah.
We can play a game where we try and guess who this is. Now, I do know that you're from the 209 area code, so chances are that you are some friend of mine, or relative, or admirer, which I'm going to go with more than likely, because no friend or relative of mine listens to this show.
My vote is ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend. So, you give me too much credit, because I only have like four.
Yeah.
So
most of them are here.
I have four ex-girlfriends, and most of them are here, is that what you said? They live with me.
You're awesome.
I'm awesome? Well, maybe this is an ex-girlfriend.
Because you've had four ex-girlfriends. It's awesome.
That's awesome. How many ex-boyfriends do you have?
It's two.
You have two ex-boyfriends? Let's see.
You don't know who this is?
I don't know who this is. I'm really trying to figure it out.
You want to take off your headphones and she can tell me and the listeners?
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, this is fun.
That's great. Okay, he is honestly not listening now. He cannot hear you. Only I and everybody on Ustream and the podcast. But Justin cannot. Tell us who you are.
I'm Mindy from Great America Nickelodeon Shows.
Then I do know you. All right. So, Justin, come back.
Okay. Wait, now, is it an admirer of you?
No, definitely an admirer of you.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Like this.
Okay.
I like it when lady
we're going to give you. We're going to give you five questions.
Okay, that I can ask her.
And then she will answer them in yes or no.
Okay.
And by the end of that, if you don't have it, you give her $5.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I think I can eliminate the ex-girlfriend factor if I ask you, how big is my penis? Can she not hear me?
I don't know. Can you?
My question.
I almost said her name.
She can't answer the question? Is that what she said?
I cannot answer that question, no.
It was supposed to be a yes or no.
Wait, hold on.
How big your penis is.
This is not a 12-year-old. This is that I'm talking? Okay,
not
good.
A 12-year-old.
All right, so she just said.
Four questions left.
She does not know how big my penis is. Let's see. Can I ask her? Well... Can I ask her what she knows about my penis?
Are all of the questions going to be about your penis?
That's how I figure out how people know me.
I've heard wonderful things about it, but I've never had the experience firsthand.
All right. Well, then what you need to do is make a note on your calendar. July 22nd through 25th, I'll be at Rooster Teeth Feathers, which is the closest I'm going to be to Modesto, California. No? This is a bad thing. Okay. Let's see.
Three questions.
Do we go to high school together?
No, we did not.
Oh, crap.
Ah.
I am screwed, blued, and tattooed.
You should have figured it out by now.
I should have?
Yep.
Are we related?
No.
Last question.
We're not. That's only three.
Nope. No, no, no.
She didn't answer the one of... Oh, no, she did answer the one about what she knows about my penis. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Last one.
Oh, gosh. What letter does your name start with?
That's not a yes or no question.
I have to be yes or no question?
That was the rules.
Does your name...
Yes or no? Come on.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I think I recognize this
there
now.
There you go.
But we did... No, no, I don't, because I went to high school with her. Oh, gosh. How could I not...
Can I give you a clue?
Yes.
Oh, nice. A little help.
All right. We have been in the car together many, many times.
We've been in the
driving,
car.
Driving long distances.
Driving long distances in the car many, many times?
Yeah. A good number of times.
This It's crazy because it almost sounds like...
commuting.
Why don't you just say what your name rhymes with?
Hold on, but why? Who did I commute with? It would have to be to Great America, right? Because that's the only job I ever had to commute to. Who do I know from? Why this is going to make me look like a huge? This is start out fun. Now I'm going to be all guilty. Like I'm going to feel like a huge asshole.
Yeah,
because I should know this.
Yeah,
like
you should.
Like boom.
Yeah, I'm a little impressed. Depressed.
Depressed.
So, lame.
So if I don't talk to you for a year, you're going to forget who I am.
Well, here's the thing. Like she sounds honestly like, but we didn't commute to Great America together. But she sounds a little bit like Danielle. Like, and I don't know if that's crazy in my head.
Oh my god.
But I know Danielle's
not in
Modesto. She sounds, why, who?
Well, her husband was stationed in Sacramento, but no.
Well, we didn't commute on a regular basis, but we did, you know, we did commute together quite a few times.
Your voice is like so.
And we're Facebook friends, too, so.
You should just do a voice match, don't you have that?
I don't get the apps. I don't get the apps on Facebook.
As an early adopter, I have all sorts of software.
Oh, what? Gosh, this is going to drive me nuts, but I really don't want to stop playing this game. Is this interesting? Because it's fun for me.
You have one last guess. Ask her
maybe,
one last.
Maybe this will ring a bell. I once gave you advice to, when you're really stressed out, to keep a journal.
Oh, my gosh. I think you just made it worse. I'll be honest with you. I cannot.
Oh, my God. Okay. One more clue. It's a big one.
He still gets to ask you.
Oh, gosh. You have what?
I was really young. I have brown curly hair.
You had brown curly hair when you were young.
And I was young at the time. I was really young.
We
like
all
19. And I dressed up in a big Angelica costume.
Oh my gosh! This is Mindy Morrow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Holy crap. There was no way in hell that I would have pulled that. No way. But here's
really?
What, yeah. Because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to your voice and I'm like, I know this voice and I know that laugh. And like, so I knew that it was somebody I'd spent a good chunk of time with. And I was like, oh my God. And I was, it was, oh, that's, how are you?
Nah.
I'm so awesome. How are you?
I believe it. So where are you now then? Are you in the Manteca area or?
I'm in Stockton
nice.
And going to UOP.
Nice. What are you studying? Can I ask?
I'm on to my third choice of study.
Aren't we all?
Hence me still in school. No. I studied music therapy and psychology and communication.
That's kind of all the same thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's... So right now
not
you're on... Not really.
But you're focusing on human behavior with all three, so it's kind of the same.
So with the idea of music therapy, is that, like... So you would use music to... Like, so if I have mommy issues, what kind of music would be played to solve that?
The lullaby song, usually.
Are you serious? I'm like, I totally
have,
expected you
I
to not have an answer.
I'm happy to break it and, like, block you. Well, no.
Are you being serious right now?
No, I'm totally
Oh,
serious.
You got me. I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. I was like, maybe you should go back to this music therapy thing because you're pretty good at it.
I was like, because here's it's comforting, isn't it?
My first thought was, this is insane. This would make no. And then I was like, wait, hold on a second. Maybe like, what if that's what it took? Like, what if and you're just rocking me, and I have my Winnie the Pooh blanket that I was very attached to.
You're like sucking your thumb.
I imagine the first 5 minutes would be kind of awkward, and then it like going into. like going into hypnosis. Eventually, I would just fall into it, and I would just find comfortable.
I'm so comfortable then, right,
yeah, exactly. And then I would just fall into it. I like this. I like this idea.
Exactly.
So, but then now really explain to me, like, what's the idea of music therapy? How?
Okay, I'll explain. You know, my friend and I, we were studying it together, and we used to hate, like, meeting people in bars and, like, explaining what we did. So we would just say, we're studying to be dental hygienists, you know?
I'll keep boys away.
And then I had this one guy ask me, you know, oh, what do you do? And he's kind of, like, dressed in his jeans and his old crappy shirt with his construction boots, and he's like, what do you do? And I said, oh, I was studying music therapy. And he's like, oh, is that like getting a massage to music? He started making fun of me. And I was like, nice boots. What do you do for a living? Oh, construction. Oh, how much education did that take? Whoa. Really? None. Wow, you're awesome.
I should tell you that we are sponsored by the Constructors Union. I should tell you. I should have made that. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can find all your construction working information and find work in your area by going to constructionworkers.tv.
Shut up.
She said, shut up.
Shut up.
So, what...
Okay, it actually has been around since the 1940s. ULP is the only school on the West Coast that has a graduate program with it. We use music therapy either for therapeutic purposes, or we can use it in a form of occupational therapy, which is along the lines of physical therapy with people who have things like Parkinson's disease. They have a hard time keeping a normal gait when they walk, or either walk too fast or too slow.
So you would throw on some Staying Alive to give them a tempo to focus to.
Exactly. And give them style while we're at it. It's actually super hard major. It's like 17 hours a day. You're in two different ensembles. You're taking private voice, taking like three different instruments.
So that's why you changed majors.
And your therapy classes. Yeah, it was crazy.
So you decided to go for that into psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then what made you jump from psychology to communication?
Because I'm really good at it. And it's easier.
Because Kevin and I had a professor who came up on this very show a couple weeks ago who used to mock communication majors.
Oh, yeah.
Where in the same class where I talked about him talking about how great his shirt was when talking about Birth of a Nation being responsible for the rebirth of the KKK, during one of the breaks that he would just take, not where he would excuse people, but he would just take a break from lecturing and he'd be like, well, let's meet someone here. Hello, what is your name? What is your name? And then they'd be like, oh, I'm Tanya. And what are you studying, Tanya? What are you learning here at school? And she said, communications. Oh, communications. So you're in the same building as us. Communications is always an interesting major to me. You know, you have classes that you post saying things like, how to start a conversation. I've always found hello works for me. I mean, what kind of things do you... Is it really a major?
Douchebag.
He hated the comm majors.
He sounds like a big douche.
Offline, he would say things like, why do you need a degree?
He has a degree, okay? So at least he could make fun of people with other degrees or whatever and what they studied. But it's just best, if you don't have a degree, to not make fun of someone who's studying communications.
Why is that?
It's a degree in paper. It's a degree in I finished school. It's like having a degree in transfer studies.
Which is fine, but if you're not making any sort of effort to go to school whatsoever, and then you're making fun of someone who is...
You could be working. You could have a job. So that's an option.
That's true.
That's instead of going to school to do nothing with your money when you're done with it.
I do like this theory, though. The theory of that if by achieving a college degree, that kind of gets you like a get-out-of-jail-free card, where it's like...
For 4 years.
Like if I'm... No, I'm saying like if I'm at a bar and some guy comes up to me and he's like, listen, what the hell's up with that 14 hat? You think you like Tony Stewart or something? And I'm like... Yeah, and he's like, okay, listen, you know what's wrong? You're just a stupid idiot. I go, hold on, I have a college degree. And he'd be like, oh, I go, do you have a college degree? And he's like, no, no, I don't. I go, okay, then we're probably going to have to stop it here.
I would love to see that fight happen. Yeah.
Mostly because I would be lying. Well, I do have an AA in transfer studies. So technically I do have a degree.
I don't put down people who don't have college degrees. You know, they got other stuff going on. But I'm just saying, it shouldn't make fun of me either.
Nobody was making fun of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I made it seem like anybody was making. I just remember that because I do. Because here's the thing. I mean, Mindy, you have to a certain degree agree that it is a valid point.
It's not one of the most difficult majors. No, it isn't.
Exactly. when you're done with it, be honest. Educate us. How much skill did you learn through at the end of the degree that you didn't have going into it? The silence from the communications major.
Well, she's got a thing.
Here's the deal. Okay, after studying psychology and music therapy, it's like I already had a lot of more in-depth knowledge before going into it, so mm-hmm. a lot of it seemed like common knowledge to me. But at the same time, there's skills and how to do the nitty-gritty of certain things that you do learn.
What nitty gritty are we getting into in the
doing like public relations writing or specific event planning or working with media relations, breaking down marketing.
I only have a high school diploma, but here I'm going to try to paraphrase what you're saying here and tell me if I'm wrong, that you communication isn't the actual study of a conversation. It's the mechanics of what's going on subtextually, or it's also talking about why we do what we do and what it means and using that information to kind of hone or focus a given message.
Yeah, but honestly, I just want to do pharmaceutical sales. So.
Mindy, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for that informative invitation to join the communications major. You're looking for a career. Now you have gotten the pitch from them.
Oh, Mindy, you are the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down.
Better than Antarctica.
Say what? What did you say?
I said better than Antarctica.
Far better.
Far better.
Far more interesting. Far,
that was awesome. So now I'm enthralled. Now you say you also do pharmaceutical sales. What kind of drug is the one that everybody should be doing right now?
I want to do when I'm done.
Oh, yeah, okay. She's done. She's doing this as a stepping stone to actually get a skill. That's what she's saying.
Oh, okay. So
I can tell you there's drugs that you shouldn't do.
Okay, I want to hear those.
Okay, so there was this blood pressure medication that was put out on the market, right? Uh-huh. And they had found that for some reason when women took this medication, it depleted their cognitive abilities. Is what the article said.
I think that's a placebo.
It actually made them dumb.
Yeah,
it
I think
made
that's...
them really dumb. They just took this medicine, this heart, blood pressure medication, they became stupid.
I think it's a placebo effect you're talking about, Mindy. I think that that's something that just naturally happens and that you gave some treats.
She says, I don't remember how to do the dishes.
What does it do to men? Is this Viagra that we're talking about? Because if that's the case, I'm going to start giving Viagra to my wife.
Nice. Actually, they're supposed to have the female Viagra out soon.
Okay.
But the FDA didn't approve it because they said that the side effects were worse than the benefits.
See, I heard that it's because the benefit wasn't shown. Like it was something like the average woman who took the drug before taking the drug had what they defined as 2.5. What was it? What was the term? Sexually satisfying event gratifying event is how they defined an orgasm, I would imagine. Whereas after taking the drug,
maybe not.
Only four. The women had only 4.5 sexually gratifying events in a month. I don't know if that means sex every day for 30 days.
They just don't like having sex with the person they're having sex with?
I think it has more to do with they haven't experienced my penis, I think is really what
the issue
is.
Bring it around town.
They need a professional world.
That's
they
right.
They need a professional to come in and help them out.
That's right. And that's how you...
And they'll be like, yes, when you get the pink pill.
When you get done becoming a tiger, what I want you to do with your degree is I want you to sell the pharmaceutical that is my junk.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want you to... We're going to call it Warsham Wad, and we're going to make this mass marketable and .tv, and that's what that's what we're going to do with this.
Be
this
an early adopter.
Are you on board?
You can post your ad in the back of a magazine, you know?
Yeah.
With a picture, you know, like one of those, with the pictures of the people in black and white, and they're like sexy together.
Yes, that's what I want.
Advertised.
See, yeah. She's already got it. She already knows what's up.
Hey, I studied communication.
It is relevant.
Well, Mindy, unfortunately, we have to wrap up our show, but thank you so much for calling in. I'm not being rude and cutting you off, am I?
No, it's cool.
All right, cool.
You only got so much fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. But please feel free to call in any time. Or did you have something to say, Kevin?
Nope, oh, saying okay, goodbye. I was waving to her.
Kevin kept waving his hand.
Bye.
I thought he was trying to get my attention. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Mindy. That was a ton of fun. Take care, and best of luck in your pharmaceutical sales of communication.
Thank you. Awesome. Have a good night, guys.
All right, thanks, take care.
Goodbye. Bye.
Wow, it's like a blast from your past.
I know, huh? Like I feel so bad that I couldn't pull that faster.
I didn't think you would.
You didn't think I would?
No, it's a tough one.
I should because her voice and like her speech pattern is very distinct, and that's what I was hanging on to. But honestly, what threw me is the commuting thing. Is that it wasn't until after she told me who she was, I was like, yeah, we did go to Great America.
A lot.
Yeah.
Are always taking.
I forgot
role.
About
when
that.
When she said her name, she's one of those people that, you know, obviously we haven't chatted a whole bunch, so she's not in the forefront of my mind. But as soon as she said her name, I'm like, I know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Never forget.
Yeah.
As we're out of time here, I won't bore you with details, but fascinating to me that the Captain Cook who discovered Hawaii for the West, you know, the West was invented or invited.
The guy who killed Peter Pan discovered Hawaii?
Yes, no, that's Captain Hook. Close. Uh-huh. Captain Cook discovered Hawaii. He also was the first to report back that Antarctica existed.
Oh.
But the most interesting thing that I found is this website, RalphRobertMoore.com. Moore spelled with two O's and an E, like the name. And he has this whole fictional website. I have a feeling that he was building up like a background for a book that he's written, because he had another book out in 2003 called Father Figure. It looked terrible. It's not even in print anymore. You can't get it on Amazon. But he's got all these pages of like the overview, art, beliefs, cities, cuisine, economy, fauna, government.
Of Antarctica?
Of Antarctica. Of the fictional
so
world.
He's trying to write a Zagat guide to Antarctica? Yeah. Like there's actual stuff to do
exactly.
There.
And on every page, it's the same thing. It's got the header with all those things, like a bas-relief map of Antarctica. And on the left, there are four pictures of four different cities that I guess you're supposed to think are in Antarctica. But let me just read you the overview so you're hooked in and you want to read more. For thousands of years, Antarctica was viewed by the rest of the world as a cold wasteland. Only in recent times has the true nature of Antarctica been gradually revealed to the world. Rather than a stark white continent, Antarctica is in fact a lush, populous land filled with blue lakes, green forests, and elegant cities.
Blue lakes?
Yeah. I mean, he's a descriptive writer.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
I love it. What's that URL again in case anybody wants to
learn? RalphRobertMoore.com.
Moore, M-O-O-R?
Yeah, M-O-O-R-E. Under government is your favorite. Antarctica is not a democracy. There are no political parties in Antarctica. No elections, no Congress, no parliament, no president, prime minister, or king. There are no laws, courthouses, attorneys, police, or jails. Antarcticans have many heroes in their history, artists, discoverers, and daredevils, but there have never been any in one individual who is thought of as having led the nation, a colloquialism that has to be explained to Antarcticisms.
But, you know, it's funny is that I do think that that might be a valid point, that there is no government there, you know what I mean?
Because currently.
At first I thought, well, isn't that ours? Like, that's a horribly American thing, I think, to think. Awesome.
I recommend reading
I'm not
it.
Cutting off anything else.
No, we're out of time.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking to people.
Next week's trivia challenge, it was written in by...
Jessica sent us an email saying you guys could do the trivia on how the slug bug game was started, or just the slug bug game in general.
So slug bug is next week's trivia challenge.
That's what we're going to talk about. You two could send your suggestion for our trivia challenge through email. email at show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or call us at 408-228-4911. Leave us a voicemail or call live during the show. We usually record on Tuesday nights around 8 o'clock Pacific time. I'm going to be July 13th. I'm going to be at the Brea Improv with Darren Carter. July 15th through 18th. Wits End Comedy Club in Denver, Colorado. July 22nd through 25th. I'll be at Rooster T Feathers, awkwardly showing my junk to Mindy, now knowing that she was a friend when she was 15. So I was still kind of right with the Ustream thing.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
July 28th through August 1st, Pechanga Casino in Temecula, California. For all my dates, go to justincomedy.com. Please take our survey. Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and take our survey. We have 9 people who have done it so far. In order for us to get the results, we need at least 20 and more. It really helps us to get this feedback on the show, and then it helps us to hone the show to the what you want it to be. So please, I've only taken
the survey 8 times, so okay. We're doing good.
And I did it once, so we really need you guys to pick up the slack.
We're getting close.
Go to become a Facebook fan. There's a link at secondfunniestpodcast.com. And please do me a favor, tell at least 3 or 5 people about the show.
Or 35.
Or 35 would also be nice, but not expected. to help us kind of get the word out. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller,
There's Constantine. You're going to play a little Constantine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I totally forgot.
But we will say goodbye.
Totally forgot.
In the words of Ralph Robert Moore, in The Art of Antarctica, art in Antarctica started with the spoken word. The early Antarcticans living in their treetop villages, Antarcticans, with the exception of the
Wookiees?
Underground city of Foz, never went through the cave-dwelling period. Would while away the calm evening, stretched out their limbs of their town, swapping true stories based on Antarctica history. Oh, Ralph Robert Moore, you're my new hero. I think I wrote this same story when I was 10 years old.
You don't know how old he is. With this history,
there's
this
a picture.
Oh. All right, we'll find him on Ustream. All right, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller and Constantine Anthony's stand-up routine about to come up. This is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.
Comic, he performs in a show called The Sequels, improvised sequels to your favorite movies. Mr. Constantine Anthony, give it up for him. Let's go. That's scratchy. That's weird. I don't know why. Of course, I'm easily confused. If you know me, I'm very easily confused, actually. Why can't everything just be black and white, right? Doesn't that make it easy? Black and white. Yes or no, good or bad. Coke or Pepsi. Yeah. Obama or McCain. That one works, I'm good. Anyway, like alternative fuels, right? Everyone's talking about alternative fuels. And I don't get natural gas, ethanol, hydrogen cells. They're still all fuels. I thought alternative fuel means an alternative to fuel. Like, you know, like solar power, or magnetic pulse drives, or giggles, right? Maybe it's just me, I guess. I should probably tell you. I have what's called Asperger's syndrome. Maybe you heard of it. For those of you who don't know, it is a mental disorder. Much like the microphone. It is a mental disorder on the autism spectrum, showing significant difficulties in social interaction and repetitive patterns of behavior. Hold on, I'll repeat that. Significant difficulties in social interaction and repetitive patterns of behavior. I repeat that. Significant difficulties in social interaction and repetitive patterns of behavior. Yeah. Good name for a disease, though, right? Asperger's. Yeah. I'm telling you, a child, he's got that for a disease, right? Sorry, kid. You got Asperger's. you got a mental disorder, and it's going to be practically impossible for you to understand or even connect with other people. Don't worry, though. We made it real easy for them to make fun of you. Good news, though. That'll probably go right over your head. Am I right? You wouldn't know. asked me, Constantine, what's it like living with Asperger's? And I told them, it's like being an android with a broken emotion chip.
That's right.
You ever go online to one of those, like try to register for something, anything. You register for something and they tell you to type up little letters that are pictured in the box there. They say it's to prevent spamming, to, you know, so the computers can't get on there. Well, in real life, my brain is like a spam bot trying to register for anything social. It's just difficult. It's just tough. It's all right. What is this? We got a K. M. It's got to be an M. Is that a 2? No, it's a Z. It's a Z, Brian. It's got to be a 2. All right, 2. K, M, 2. It's a J. What is that squiggling line? What is that squiggling line, right? Oh, that's an S. Okay, I see this. M, K, 2, S. Is that a smiley face? Is that a smiley face? How do I type? Where is it? Oh! Oh, oh, Facebook! You stupid machine! I just wanted one friend! Actually, people really don't ask me what it's like to have Asperger's. A little inappropriate, though, right? Asking someone like that. Hey, what's it like being retarded, man? I don't know. The kind of person who would just come out and ask someone that. I mean, they would need to have, like, significant difficulties in social interaction. And in repetitive patterns of behavior. Obviously, I have a hard time fitting in. High school was the worst, though, right? Oh, remember lunchtime? Where to sit? Oh, wasn't that the worst? Woo! You always want to sit with the popular kids, right? Always want to sit at the popular kids' table. That never happened, though. No matter how lame their conversation was, they were always having fun. Not the rest of us. No. Always worried about what other people would look, what they think we're doing, and trying to look cool. But not those guys. Ooh! Oh, they were at the top, right? Oh! Sorry. You know also is that fun, though? Special ed table. Am I right? Those guys, because they didn't care what anybody else thought. They're just out there having a blast.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. I mean, I get so jealous, you know, just watching them. Oh. And they'd be out there with their and then I look over the special ed table, and then there's just... Oh, that's my topic, guys. I would connect.
I just wanted to add that as an additional video, like related video, is Ryan Reynolds' rage on the set of The Proposal. Okay, bye.